Welcome to Small Business Big Network, the podcast for small business owners who want big results from their networking. I'm Liz Drury, a freelance voiceover artist who knows that if you're not working, then networking could help. Tom Jepson is a coach for creative people based in Nottingham. He says that networking has given him the opportunity to experiment with how he introduces his business and the confidence to say who he is and what he does. Thank you very much for being my guest on the podcast today, Tom.
My absolute pleasure, Liz. Thank you very much for having me.
Now, you're a coach for creative people, and we'll come back to that in a minute because I want to dig into your background a bit first. I know you've not always been a coach, but have you always been creative? What have you done in the past, Tom?
That is a fabulous question. Yes, in short, I have always been creative. Personally, my background has been in music. Mm-hmm. So I've been kind of all over the map playing in bands and being a session player and just, you know, recording things for my own devices. Mm. Professionally, I came to creative work quite late.
Yeah.
But I think there's always been a thread of that. So anyone who knows me or has worked with me in the past, they'll know that my background is in design. So I'm a user experience designer, mm-hmm. Doing all kinds of strategic things for people who want to make digital stuff for their clients.
Yeah.
And the way that I see creativity in myself is that it's just a set of skills, a set of tools that I apply in different ways. So, yeah, it's always been there, and I try to channel it in various ways today.
Okay, so tell me a bit more about some of your previous roles and user experience and so on, because that's a term that I don't always know quite what it means.
Well, I'm going to try not to nerd out too much because I don't do a lot of design work today, but when I do, I really enjoy it. Mm. So my role as a designer of things began back in sort of almost over 15 years ago now, just kind of making pictures of websites for people that they would then go and get made, mm-hmm. you know, using Photoshop to make a pretty picture and then somebody would go and get a developer to build it. That developed into what you might call proper web design, mm-hmm. Where I've worked with various tech companies in Nottingham, where I live.
Yeah.
And through those roles, which were very junior, because I guess I say I came to this quite late in my professional career, mm-hmm. I then sort of learned what designing things for people and for human beings was all about. Mm. So I homed in on that. I don't want to use the word niche too heavily, but that focus area, and developed the skill sets of a UX, a UX user experience designer, and worked my way through the ranks of design, mm-hmm. you know, from junior all the way up to head of design, leading teams and all that kind of shenanigans, working for companies of all shapes and sizes. And I, you know, it's been a constant evolution of what I understand design to be and being able to practice those skills in different ways. Because while there are, I'd say, a finite number of basic UX challenges, mm-hmm. the context is always different. So, yeah. It's been a wild ride.
And at what point in your career journey did you decide to become self-employed?
I can almost tell you the date.
Yeah.
But I can tell you the date. It was the 23rd of December 2018 when I was working for a startup which was failing rapidly. The overseers of the startup turned out to be not very nice people, and they took their failure out on the team. And there was a particular conversation which pushed me into a very bad place personally and also professionally, And I just said no.
Yeah.
Enough is enough. And I wrote them a 3-line letter saying, well, paraphrase, I'm out. Thanks, yeah. lads. and I quit. So that was the turning point. I stepped into self-employment as a designer, but, mm-hmm. you know, many years later, and you know, over 5 years later, we're talking about coaching and using design skills in a very different way.
Yeah. Do you think that you would have become self-employed without that kind of push that you had? Was it something that was always in the back of your mind, or did you just think, okay, this isn't working out, let's go do something myself?
I would have always ended up here.
Mm.
Always. Because prior to my tenure in a couple of startups, I had stepped out of another business and gone straight into freelancing.
Mm.
Again, because of my personal challenges with certain kinds of employment and this way that certain businesses handle their people, that again pushed me out. So I'd kind of dipped my toe in already.
Yeah.
But it took almost an extra 3 years to get to the point of there's no other way.
Yeah. And when did you get into the coaching, and why did you get into the coaching?
A very good twofer there. so when did I get into it? So officially, I have been a coach on paper for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those things that happened during the pandemic where design work was a bit slower than I would have liked it to have been.
Mm.
And I wanted to use my interpersonal skills and my design skills in a different way.
Mm.
So I chatted to a few people who did different things, and a friend of a friend told me that some of the skills that I was using with my clients were actually coaching skills.
Mm.
So I dug in. I was like, okay, this sounds interesting. How can we evolve that thought? So I went and found a training company who have a wonderful training coach trainer,
mm-hmm.
Who's now gone out on her own, and I spent kind of 18 months with her tutelage, guidance, mentoring, and learned what it really takes to be a coach. I guess you could say that I've always been doing it, because I think the skills which I have formalized through that kind of learning have always been threads in my design career as well.
Mm.
Working with people.
Yeah.
Helping others grow into their roles. You know, client relationships where you have to ask the right questions to draw the right information, but also help them come to the realization that they might need a bit of extra support or, you know, anything like that. So it's always been there, but the transition into it was modestly recent.
Yeah. Yeah. And your niche is coaching creatives. Why did you decide to concentrate on creatives in particular?
Because I could smell my own. no, seriously, I think there are, I don't use the word niche very often, because I think it pigeonholes me and what I do, but I like working with creative people the most, because there are particular characteristics and particular traits of a professional creative that they resonate with me, and I can kind of talk that language as well.
Yes.
You know, I'm not here to tell anyone what to do in their creative practice, but we can talk the same language,
yeah,
and hopefully get on like a house on fire, which will then help them get the action in place that they need to move forward.
Yeah. And are there things that you find creatives in particular need help with? What do people come to you for?
That's a great question. And yes, I do see common threads. I mean, caveat that with everyone's scenario, everyone's challenge is different, because people are all unique. Of the last sort of year, one of the biggest challenges that I have helped people with is focus, or specifically the kind of the ballpark question of, I don't know what to do next.
Yeah.
Or just, I don't know what to do, full stop. And yet there, it might be because somebody has too many ideas and they get stuck in option paralysis. Or maybe they've gone so far down a track that they've worked themselves up into a place where they have no ideas and they're just staring at the wall and nothing's coming. You know, it might be that they've got themselves into a toxic place with a client and they need help working through that to resolve a scenario. The other thing that seems to come up quite often is, I'm not doing the kind of work I want to do. Which, when you are self-employed, if you're not doing the kind of work that you want to do, something has gone quote unquote wrong.
Yeah.
On the path.
Yeah.
You know, I don't use that word very often, but if you've taken on a job or a project or a client or whatever that actually you don't want, we should probably have a chat and talk about what got you to that place, you know? So there are definitely common threads, but
I can imagine a common thread being imposter syndrome.
It does come up. I have thoughts on imposter syndrome, in that we can quickly put it to bed, because as creative professionals, we shouldn't need to feel like we're competing with anybody. Yeah, you know, we all have those days when we just, we can't get the neurons firing. We can't summon the muscle memory of our skills to do what we need to do. But in terms of that idea of competition and feeling like you're not supposed to be somewhere, I think all of us need to gently set it down and say, okay, I don't need to worry about that right now. But it does come up. It does come up. And I have ways to help people move through it.
Yeah. But,
I don't like to hang my hat on it too much, because it then becomes a thing.
Yeah.
And it becomes a bugbear that people then carry around with them. And life is too short to feel like you don't belong.
Oh, absolutely. On your LinkedIn profile, you describe yourself as being slightly rebellious. I'm wondering in what way, Tom?
we'll keep it clean. I just challenge everything. Any preconceived notion of normality, any rules. I used to define myself as like the creative rebel, but I did realize that maybe that was slightly too aggressive a front to bring to the table. So, you know, I am quite rebellious in what I do, in that I do it my way and there is no other way for me to do that. But if others maybe aren't feeling quite so rebellious, that's okay too. We're still going to get on.
Yeah.
I can be rebellious for you and help you find a way that's comfortable to do stuff in your way. Yeah, it's a fine line to tread.
And you also describe yourself as nerdy. How are you nerdy, Tom?
All right, brace yourself, because the rabbit hole half opened. So I am a diehard horror movie fan.
Okay.
In my household, my wife and I have kind of encyclopedic knowledge of various film franchises and character narratives and things. So we kind of go deep on that. I still do music things, but only as a hobby these days. Because with a family, with work, with all the other things, it doesn't fit into any other sphere. So I do that. But recently I have started playing the game Dungeons and Dragons.
Okay,
with
yeah.
some friends from who I met through a networking, the Creative yeah. Collective. And we get together every couple of weeks and we roll dice, we collaborate, and we tell stories together. And honestly, it is the most freeing experience for any nerd creative thinker.
Yeah.
You just get to make stuff up. So, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. Yeah, nerdy and creative, all in one. So what? How can business owners benefit from coaching, would you say?
That is a fabulous question. So how can business owners benefit from coaching? Firstly, by stepping into that relationship, you're already acknowledging that you can change and that you want to take action to change from whatever today looks like. It might be stepping away from something which is causing you strife. It might be you're ready to do a massive positive push forward. But whatever it is, it's the acknowledgement that change can happen and you are willing to embrace it. It allows you to exist in a safe space for an hour to 90 minutes at a time where you can just let everything go and you can commune with somebody who is there to support you but also challenge you in a positive way, so that you're kind of not stuck in your own head 24/7.
Yes.
I think you have somebody who is going to hold you accountable.
Yep.
Without using it as a yardstick, because when we try and hold ourselves accountable, we get into the I should, I must, I need to. When in actual fact, the only thing is, well, yeah, you could do that. You could do this. You could try that. And having a coach on your side, having somebody in your corner, they're there to say, well, all right, here are the options that you've identified. Which one are you going to do today? And it just allows you to put one foot in front of the other without fear that you're going to stuff something up.
Yeah.
Because you've already kind of played it out.
Yeah.
And having the coaching environment allows you to do things like play with an idea.
Yeah.
It's one of the things that I'm definitely trying to bring into my own practice this year, is a lot more play.
Yeah.
And not for the sake of frivolity, but because I think as grown-ups and as professionals, we get ourselves so far down a path where things must be professional and they must be done in a certain way, when actually we need to let it go and go, you know what, I just want to kick this ball around for a while and see what happens.
And what kind of results do you see people getting through the coaching?
I have had people relaunch entire businesses. I have had people just rebrand themselves as something else. I have had people fire clients because the relationship was too toxic.
Yeah.
I've had, what else have we had recently? I mean, I've had people just say to me, right, I feel that I can do that now. I've seen light bulbs come on left, right and center with people going, ah, oh, I can do this. I can use this idea and take a step forward to where I feel that I would like to be in this life.
Yeah.
Sometimes the outcomes of conversations of multiple sessions are less tactile because they're so personal. But as I say, sometimes it is, okay, well, we're going to work through this project that you're working on and I'll be hand in hand with somebody while they're engaged in that. And they'll finish a project, have a really happy client and are feeling really successful about going on to the next one. So it varies. Results may vary.
Yeah.
But it's always positive.
Yeah.
And if there's one thing that I want people to come away from, it's feeling confident that they can.
Yes. Yes. So let's come to the networking side of things now. Is networking something that you've always done?
No. No, it is not. Again, it wasn't really until the pandemic that, firstly, I knew that it existed as a thing for people like me, but also that you could do it online.
Yes.
I don't think any of us really knew that it was a thing. So it's only been in the last 3 or 4 years that I've really embraced it as a tool to meet people and as something that I can use strategically in the business to start the right kind of conversations.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm still kind of new to it, you know, in the grand scheme of things. And there's always ways to learn to do networking better. But it's there, it's in my consciousness now.
And have you done you know, face-to-face networking as well as the online since that's been, you know, growing again?
Only once. I found it a bit awkward, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think it was the right group for me. You know, anyone who knows me will know that I'm not really a shirt and tie kind of guy. And this was Nottingham doesn't have a lot of casual networking spaces for business people, or not that I've found anyway. So I went to one event and it was very, you know, suit jackets and name tags and what do you sell kind of networking, you know? So I didn't really enjoy it. And honestly, it's a big investment for me to actually leave the house and go somewhere because I have so few hours in the day which I can utilize for work. So, yeah, I prefer it online, but if somebody ever wants to go for a coffee in person, I'll be there with bells on.
So tell me about the kinds of online events and that you like to go to.
Yeah. So there is the wonderful Creative Collective.
Yes.
Which you know this.
I do.
Which is... it's about as casual as you can get whilst still being able to hold a structured conversation. And I am 100% here for that. Like, just being able to show up as you with people who you can call friends.
Yeah.
And still know that actually you are there to do some networking, to be free to share the kind of business thing you're working on or maybe what you need. So I enjoy that. There's another group called Only.
Yeah.
O-N-L-E. Which is a little more formal, but again, it holds a space which allows for meeting loads of different people, and the focus is always on conversation first. Just to go and hang out with someone for 8 to 15 minutes in a meeting, plus get to meet people in group rooms as well.
Yeah.
And just talk, you know?
Yeah.
And that, I think, is where the good stuff happens. No, it doesn't always transform into business. But that is kind of the least of my worries when I spend most of the time at home in my little cupboard under the stairs, glued to my laptop screen. So, yeah, the long way around that question was, I really like just meeting people.
Yeah. So what would you say that networking has brought to your business since you started doing it?
Well, firstly, people now know who I am and what I do.
Yeah.
Like that is, and that's obviously very important because it is a business. This is not a hobby. It's also given me the confidence to step out and say, this is who I am and this is how I'm going to show up for the world. Mm-hmm. And I think until you start doing that as an action, you don't really know who you are and how you're going to show up for the world. it's given me the freedom to play with ideas on how I explain what I do. It's made me more connections than I could shake a very, very large stick at. And, you know, it has netted me a few clients. My runway is quite long in terms of, like, from the first point of contact to actually working with somebody.
Yeah.
But we get there. But it is because the conversation has started.
Yes. Yeah.
So, yeah, many things it has given me.
So why would you recommend networking to other people who are maybe just starting out in business?
Because if you don't, you're going to have a really hard time just getting in front of anybody. Like, as soon as you can step one foot into a slightly uncomfortable place, which is, hi, I'm Tom, I'm the coach for creative professionals, you've done it. Like, that first introduction is always going to be the most uncomfortable.
Yes.
But the more you do it, the more comfortable it's going to feel, and the more you feel like you belong there.
Yeah.
And that you can go talk to people as yourself, mark your place in the world of business and, you know, at large, and hopefully drum up some custom as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So final question then, Tom. If people are interested in finding out more about you and your slightly rebellious coaching, what's the best place for them to come and find you?
Find me on LinkedIn is always the best place. You can just send me a DM. You can drop a comment on a post that you see. I do have a newsletter, which you can find linked from my LinkedIn profile. Mm-hmm. If anyone wants to email me, it's hello@tomjepsoncreative.com. And if someone emails, I will reply every time. So I'm just here and waiting.
Lovely. Well, thank you very much for being my guest today. And I look forward to seeing you at a Creative Collective Network again soon.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for listening to Small Business Big Network. If you found this podcast useful, please do rate, review, and subscribe. And don't forget to share it with the rest of your network too.